to the fifth part of our series on the life of Jacob.
A prichádzame teraz do piatej časti našej série o Jakobovi.
Today our sermon is entitled Lessons on Love and Life.
Táto prednáška sa volá Lekcie pre život a lásku.
And before we start,
a predtým, než začneme,
I'd like to ask you to bow your heads with me for a word of prayer.
Chcel by som vás poprosiť, aby ste sklonili svoje hlavy k modlitbe.
Our Father in heaven,
náš Otče v nebesiach,
may the lessons from Jacob's life be a guide to us.
Daj nech lekcie alebo poučenie z Jakobovho života nás viedli v živote.
Like Jacob, may we also vow to live for you.
Tak ako Jakob, aby sme i my sľúbili, že budeme žiť pre teba.
Be with us now, we pray.
Buď teraz s nami, prosíme ťa o to.
In Jesus' name.
V Ježišovom mene.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that God came to Jacob one night in a vision.
Biblia nám hovorí, že Boh prišiel k Jakobovi jednu noc vo videní.
But sometimes we may not understand the conditions upon which God revealed himself to Jacob.
Ale niekedy nemusíme pochopiť tie podmienky, za akých sa Boh zjavil Jakobovi.
And I'm thankful that in the book Patriarchs and Prophets we have a little bit of background or insight as to what happened to Jacob that night when he was all alone.
A teším sa, alebo som rád za to, že v knihe Patriarchovia a proroci je daný nejaký taký ten hlbší pohľad do tých okolností.
This is from Patriarchs and Prophets, page 183.
Toto je z knihy Patriarchovia a proroci zo strany
183.
Zo strany 183.
The evening of the second day found him far away from his father's tents.
A večer ďalšieho dňa ho našiel, teda toho Jakoba, ďaleko od jeho stanu.
He felt that he was an outcast.
Cítil sa ako vyhnanec.
And he knew that all this trouble had been brought upon him by his own wrong course.
A vedel, že všetky jeho problémy, ktoré na neho prišli, boli vlastne jeho vlastným príčinením.
The darkness of despair pressed upon his soul.
A tá temnota toho zúfalstva sa tlačila na jeho dušu.
And he hardly dared to pray.
A len veľmi ťažko sa odvážoval na to, aby sa modlil.
But he was so utterly lonely.
Ale bol tak ukrutne osamelý,
that he felt the need of protection from God.
Že cítil tú potrebu ochrany od Boha.
As he had never felt it before.
Tak ako to nikdy necítil predtým.
With weeping and deep humiliation he confessed his sin.
Plačúc a s hlbokou pokorou priznával svoje hriechy.
And entreated for some evidence that he was not utterly forsaken.
A prosil o nejaký dôkaz toho, že nie je úplne zavrhnutý.
Still his burdened heart found no relief.
Napriek tomu jeho srdce nenachádzalo žiadnu úľavu.
He had lost all confidence in himself.
Stratil všetko sebavedomie v seba.
And he feared that the God of his fathers had cast him off.
A bál sa, že Boh jeho otcov ho zavrhol.
Now the reason I read that to you,
a dôvod, prečo som toto čítal,
is because I want you to understand the conditions that were necessary for God to reveal himself to Jacob in that vision that night.
A je preto, aby ste mohli pochopiť, aké podmienky boli potrebné na to, aby sa mu Boh zjavil v jeho videní.
You see, Jacob had a recognition of his true self.
Viete, Jakob tu mal takéto práve seba poznanie. Videl sa v pravom svetle.
Do you know, when Nathan went to David and said, you are the man.
A viete, keď prišiel Dávid, teda Nátan za Dávidom a povedal mu, ty si ten muž.
Like Jesus, that when he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again.
A podobne ako Ježiš, keď prišiel za Nikodemo a povedal mu, ty sa musíš narodiť znova.
When Jesus told the woman at the well, go call your husband.
Alebo keď Ježiš povedal žene pri tej studni, že choď a zavolaj svojho manžela.
Before a person can have a life-changing experience like Jacob had with God at that night.
A predtým, než nejaká osoba môže mať takúto život meniacu zmenu v živote, tak ako Jakob v tom videní.
Before you can be truly converted.
Predtým, než môžete byť skutočne zmenení.
You have to have a true recognition of who you really are, how sinful you really are.
A musíte sa vidieť v tom pravom svetle, musíte vidieť, ako ste skutočne hriešni.
A second factor that contributed to Jacob experiencing God in that vision that night.
A druhý faktor, ktorý vlastne naplňal tie podmienky toho videnia,
is that God caused Jacob to lose all of his earthly friends and possessions.
Bolo to, že Boh spôsobil, aby Jakob stratil všetkých svojich pozemských priateľov a majetok.
The Bible tells us that Jacob just had a staff, some oil and the clothes he was wearing.
A Biblia nám hovorí, že Jakob mal iba nejakú palicu, šaty, ktoré mal zo sebou a trochu oleja.
If we go through the Bible,
a keď prejdeme Bibliou,
we find that when people experience conversion, they are in the same situation.
Tak nachádzame, že keď ľudia prichádzajú vlastne, teda zažívajú v živote zmeny práve v rovnakých podmienkach.
Where was the prodigal son when he was converted? Where was he?
Kde bol ten marnotratný syn, keď sa vlastne zmenil?
Where was he?
Kde bol?
Far from his father.
Ďaleko od otca.
With no more money.
Bez peňazí.
Where was Saul when he was converted?
A kde bol Saul, keď sa obrátil?
He was blind, right?
Bol slepý.
No friends, no people around him.
Žiadni priatelia, žiadni ľudia okolo neho.
In that helpless condition,
a v takýchto bezmocných podmienkach,
he now saw who Jesus was.
Teraz zrazu videl, kto Ježiš je.
Where was Moses converted?
A kde sa obrátil Mojžiš?
Where?
Kde?
In Midian.
V Midiane, na púšti.
And where this was not his home?
A to nebol jeho dom.
His family was all gone.
A celá jeho rodina bola preč.
He had no, he was nothing. He had just sheep to take care of.
A nebol ničím, nemal nič, mal iba zo pár oviec, o ktoré sa mal starať.
You see, oftentimes it is only in the silence of loneliness that God can speak to us.
A tak to môžeme vidieť, že častokrát je to len v takomto osamotenom stave, keď nám Boh môže hovoriť.
When we have friends, family and all these things around us, we sometimes don't hear God's voice.
Keď máme rodinu a priateľov okolo seba, tak niekedy nepočujeme Boha k nám hovoriť.
When the disciples had worked all night and they were tired, that's when they saw Jesus walking.
A vtedy, keď tí učeníci pracovali celý deň a boli večer teda unavení, tak vtedy videli Ježiša kráčať.
So how could God show himself to Jacob?
Takže ako mohol sa Boh zjaviť Jakobovi?
So far we've seen two things.
Zatiaľ sme videli dve veci.
He saw that he was sinful. He recognized his own condition.
Tá prvá, že videl svoj skutočný stav.
He had been all alone. He lost all of his earthly friends and his possessions.
Tá druhá, že stratil všetkých svojich priateľov pozemských a všetok svoj majetok.
And then the third factor was God showed Jacob that he loved him.
A tretí faktor bol ten, že Boh ukázal Jakobovi, že ho miluje.
How many of you carry a cell phone?
Koľko z vás nesie so sebou mobil?
I don't know if you're like me.
Neviem, či ste taký ako ja.
If I leave the house without my cell phone,
ja keď odídem z domu a zabudnem mobil,
I feel almost like I don't have some clothes on, like naked a little bit.
Tak sa cítim skoro tak, ako keby som na sebe nemal šaty, ako keby som bol nahý.
And so I always have my cell phone with me.
Takže mám stále so sebou mobil.
But why? Why do we need this?
Ale prečo ho potrebujeme?
A cell phone connects us to other people.
A ten mobil nás spája s inými ľuďmi.
Now, back in Jacob's time, they didn't have cell phones.
A samozrejme v časoch Jakoba tak mobily neexistovali.
But what vision did God show Jacob? What vision did he show him?
Ale aké videnie ukázal Boh Jakobovi? Videnie o čom?
It was a ladder. What does a ladder do?
Bol to rebrík. Čo robí rebrík? Na čo slúži?
It connects two points.
Spája dve body.
And so the ladder, the Bible says, it reached right down to where Jacob was, to the earth. It touched the earth.
A tak ten rebrík z videnia sa spájal Boha priamo s tým bodom zo zemou, kde bol Jakob.
And then it reached all the way up to heaven to where God was.
A hore siahal vlastne až do neba, tam, kde bol Boh.
You see, as people, we long for connection.
A môžete vidieť, že my ako ľudia vlastne túžime po spojení.
And when God showed this vision to Jacob,
a keď Boh ukázal Jakobovi toto videnie,
it gave him tremendous hope.
Tak dal mu obrovskú nádej.
First of all, we know that that ladder symbolizes Jesus.
A za prvé vieme, že ten rebrík symbolizuje Ježiša.
In John chapter 1 verse 51.
V knihe Jána, John
chapter 1 verse 51.
A u Jána v prvej kapitole verši 51.
Jesus said,
Ježiš hovorí,
hereafter, after this,
potom,
you will see the angels descending and ascending upon the Son of Man.
Uvidíte anielov vystupovať a schádzať po synovi človeka.
So Jesus was saying that he was that ladder.
Takže Ježiš hovorí, že on bol ten ten rebrík.
You see, to Jacob that ladder symbolized a means by which he in his sinful condition could connect up to God in heaven.
A tak môžete vlastne vidieť, že pre Jakoba ten rebrík symbolizoval vlastne spôsob, ako sa on hriešný môže spojiť s nebom a s Bohom.
And what was going up and down on that ladder? What?
A čo chodilo po tom rebríku hore dole?
Angels.
Anjeli.
It was to give Jacob comfort that no matter what, he would never be alone.
To malo dať Jakobovi takéto upokojenie, že čokoľvek sa stane, tak nebude nikdy sám.
Maybe you live alone.
Možno žijete sami.
You should know that God has active angels that are working on your behalf.
Mali by ste vedieť, že Boh má aktívnych anjelov, ktorí pracujú práve pre vás.
You may not see them.
Možno ich nevidíte.
But just as those angels were ministering to Jacob when he was all by himself.
Ale rovnako ako tí anjeli slúžili alebo posluhovali Jakobovi, keď bol úplne sám.
Angels are ministering to us even when it seems like no human beings are around.
Tak rovnako tí anjeli posluhujú aj nám, aj keď sa nám môže zdať, že nikto okolo nás nie je.
Now, the fact that God used the symbol of a ladder, it can teach us some spiritual truths.
A fakt, že Boh použil ako symbol toho rebríka, nás môže naučiť istú duchovnú pravdu.
There are some people like Jacob.
Sú ľudia ako Jakob.
They have not yet begun climbing that ladder.
Ktorí ešte nezačali stúpať po tom rebríku.
In other words, they have not yet accepted Jesus as the hope of salvation to reach heaven.
Inými slovami, ešte neakceptovali Ježiša ako ten spôsob dostať sa do neba.
To you, God invites you to take the first step and to come to Jesus.
Teda získať spasenie a
to those kinds of people, God invites them to take the first step and come to Jesus.
A týchto ľudí vlastne Boh pozýva na to, aby urobili ten prvý krok a prijali Ježiša.
There are some people that have already started climbing the ladder.
Sú potom ľudia, ktorí už začali stúpať po tom rebríku.
But no matter where you are on the ladder,
ale bez ohľadu na to, kde ste na tom rebríku,
there is always something higher that you can achieve.
Tak vždy je niečo vyššie, k čomu sa môžete dostať.
I have met Adventists that have been Adventists their entire life.
Stretol som sa s adventistami, ktorí boli adventistami celý svoj život.
60, 70, 80 years.
60, 70, 80 rokov.
And sometimes you can think, I've been an Adventist all my life.
A niekedy si môžete pomyslieť, ja som bol adventistom celý svoj život.
I've been a Christian all my life.
Bol som kresťanom celý svoj život.
What can I learn more?
Čo už viac sa môžem naučiť?
Until you reach heaven,
ale kým nedosiahnete nebo,
there is still another rung on the ladder.
Tak je ešte stále nejaká ďalšia priečka na tom rebríku.
We should never stop ascending higher on Jesus.
Nikdy by sme nemali prestať stúpať ďalej v Ježišovi.
Now, I want to show you that we have evidence that this experience with the vision was Jacob's conversion experience.
Chcem vám ukázať, že máme isté dôkazy o tom, že táto skúsenosť s tým videním bola Jakobovým, bola skúsenosťou Jakobovho obrátenia.
Look at verse 21 of Genesis 28.
A takže pozrieme sa do 1. Mojžišovej 28. kapitole.
The, 21 of chapter 28.
Yeah. A 21. verš.
He says, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord God, Lord be my God.
Genesis 28:21. A navrátim sa v pokoji do domu svojho otca a bude mi Hospodin Bohom.
Jacob says here, God will be my God.
A tu Jakob hovorí, že Hospodin mi bude Bohom.
The evidence of his conversion is that he gave himself to God and that God became his.
A tým dôkazom je vlastne to, že Jakob sa dal Bohu a Boh sa stal jeho Bohom.
But number two,
ale bod číslo 2.
In verse 22,
a vo verši 22.
He said, of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee.
Zo všetkého, čo mi dáš, o Bože, dám ti istotne desatinu.
When people are genuinely converted,
keď sú ľudia úprimne obrátení,
they give their possessions to God.
Tak dávajú svoj majetok, to, čo majú Bohu.
I want to ask you a question.
Chcem sa vás opýtať otázku.
The man Zacchaeus in the Bible.
Muž Zacheus v Biblii.
Do you remember him?
Pamätáte si ho?
Was he genuinely converted?
Bol skutočne obrátený?
Yes.
Áno.
Jesus said, this day salvation has come to this house.
Ježiš o ňom povedal, že tento deň prišlo spasenie do tohto domu.
What evidence was there that he was converted?
Aký dôkaz bol toho, že sa naozaj obrátil?
Not only did he say I'm going to pay everything back.
Nie len, že povedal, že všetko, čo som ukradol, navrátim.
But he said the half of my goods I give to the poor.
Ale povedal ešte, že aj polovičku zo svojho majetku dám chudobným.
When people are converted,
a keď sa ľudia obrátia,
they give their possessions to God.
Tak dajú svoj majetok Bohu.
Think of Mary.
Uvažujte o Márii.
Do you remember when she came to Jesus and she broke the alabaster box and washed her hair with his washed his feet with her hair?
A pamätáte si na tú udalosť, keď vlastne rozbila tú alabastrovú fľašku s alabastrovou masťou a s vlasmi umývala jeho nohy?
That box costed one year of her salary.
A tá krabička, tá fľaška stála rok jej platu, ktorý získavala.
Now in America,
a v Amerike,
the average one year salary is like almost $40,000.
Priemerný ročný plat je skoro 40,000 dolárov.
When Mary was genuinely converted,
keď sa Mária skutočne obrátila,
she gave the most expensive thing that she could find as a dedication to Jesus.
Tak dala Bohu ako znak toho odovzdania tú najdrahšiu vec, ktorú dokázala nájsť.
Nicodemus.
Nikodém.
Many years later,
mnoho rokov neskôr,
after he first met Jesus on that night on the Mount of Olives,
potom, čo prvýkrát sa stretol s Ježišom na Olivovom vrchu,
he became a bold supporter of Jesus.
Stal sa takým tým silným alebo hlasným podporovateľom Ježiša.
Now the Bible doesn't say this,
Biblia toto nehovorí,
but I have read some books that give us some history about what happened to Nicodemus later.
Ale čítal som nejaké knihy, ktoré nám hovoria o tom, čo sa stalo neskôr s Nikodémom.
Do you know that Nicodemus was so wealthy by himself? He was so wealthy.
Viete o tom, že Nikodémus, sám Nikodém bol teda taký bohatý?
Scholars say,
že učenci hovoria,
he could have fed the entire city of Jerusalem with his own money.
Že dokázal by nakrmiť celé mesto Jeruzalema svojimi vlastnými peniazmi.
For many years.
Mnoho rokov.
I want to say it said something like 10 years, but I don't remember the exact number.
Presné číslo si nepamätám, ale bolo to niečo okolo 10 rokov.
That is a lot of money. An entire city with his own money, he could have fed them for almost 10 years.
On sa mohol skoro 10 rokov starať o celé mesto svojimi peniazmi.
But after Jesus died and resurrected,
ale potom, čo Ježiš zomrel a vstal z mŕtvych,
Nicodemus used his wealth to support the early Christian church.
Tak Nikodém použil svoje peniaze na to, aby podporoval tú skorú cirkev.
History says that by the time his oldest daughter was getting married,
tá história hovorí, že do času, kedy sa jeho najstaršia dcéra išla vydávať,
he did not have enough money to help pay for the wedding.
Tak už nemal dostatok peňazí na to, aby mohol zaplatiť za tú svadbu.
When people are genuinely converted,
keď sú ľudia skutočne obrátení,
they give their material possessions to God.
Tak dajú svoje materiálne statky Bohu.
I want to ask you today,
chcem sa vás dneska opýtať,
have you been returning a faithful tithe to God?
Dávate Bohu ten pravý alebo verný desiatok?
Have you been giving to God of the possessions that he's given to you?
Vraciate Bohu zo statkov, ktoré vám on dáva?
It's sad, but as a pastor of my own church,
je to smutné, ale ako kazateľ svojho vlastného zboru,
I know that less than half of my members regularly pay tithe.
A viem, že menej ako polovička mojich členov dáva pravidelne desiatok.
Now I don't know how it is in the church here in Košice. I don't know.
Neviem, ako je to tu so zborom v Košiciach.
But I can tell you from my own experience.
Ale z vlastnej skúsenosti vám môžem povedať.
Paying tithe is not a burden.
A platenie desiatku nie je bremenom.
It is a blessing.
Je to požehnaním.
Every experience that I have had in my life.
Každá skúsenosť, ktorú som mal ja vo svojom živote,
of God's provisions for me,
z toho ako Boh nejako podporuje alebo dal mi nejaký majetok,
are some way connected to paying a faithful tithe.
Sú nejako tie skúsenosti, teda sú nejako spojené alebo dajú sa nejako spojiť s platením desiatku.
When my father immigrated from Korea to Canada,
keď môj otec emigroval z
from Florida to Canada. No, from Korea.
Z Korei do Kanady.
He had no money.
nemal žiadne peniaze.
And he went because there were some friends in Canada that he could stay with while he looked for a job.
A prišiel, pretože mal tam nejakých priateľov v Kanade, u ktorých mohol ostať, kým si hľadal prácu.
And so he went and he started looking frantically for work.
A tak tam prišiel a začal úplne hľadať tú prácu teda.
One day he went to church.
Jeden deň prišiel do zboru.
Still didn't have a job.
Stále nemal prácu.
And in his pants he had all the money that he had up until that time.
A v tom momente mal v svojich nohaviciach všetky peniaze, ktoré práve teraz mal.
In one pocket he had a dollar.
A v jednom vrecku mal dolár.
And then in the other pocket he had a $10 bill.
A v druhom vrecku mal 10 dolárovú bankovku.
And so that day as he was in church they passed the offering plate around.
A v ten deň ako bol v tom zbore, tak dávali zberali teda tie dárky.
And he reached into his pocket.
Siahol do svojho vrecka.
And he put a dollar bill into the plate.
A dal teda na ten tanier, kde zbierali tie dárky, tú dolárovú bankovku.
But when he got home,
ale keď prišiel domov,
he reached into his pants.
Siahol do svojich nohavíc.
And he found a dollar.
A našiel dolár.
Do you know what happened?
Viete, čo sa stalo?
He put the $10 bill in the plate in the offering at church.
A ako ten dar dal teda tú 10 dolárovú bankovku na miesto tej dolárovej.
And he still had no job.
A ešte stále nemal prácu.
But he told me that the next day, this is true, the next day.
Ale čo sa stalo? A toto je pravda. A teda povedal mi, že ďalší deň
he got hired by the company IBM as a computer programmer.
Tak dostal prácu od IBM ako prácu programátora.
Now, I don't know if you know, but IBM back then was a huge company. It was a very successful company.
Still is.
Oh, it still is. Okay, anyway.
Neviem, so. Či o tom viete, ale IBM v tom čase bola naozaj veľká, veľká spoločnosť, ešte stále je.
And so God provided him with a wonderful job, even though he thought, man, I made a mistake. I gave too much to God.
A Boh mu teda dal takú dobrú prácu napriek tomu, že on si myslel, že spravil chybu a že dal Bohu príliš veľa.
And I can tell you friends, if you will give your possessions, material possessions to God.
A môžem vám povedať priateľa, že ak vy dáte svoje materiálne svoj materiálny majetok Bohu.
I'm not just talking about paying tithe. Yes, that's important. Yes, that's very important.
A tu nehovorím len o desiatku, aj to je dôležité naozaj.
Some people pay tithe but they don't give offerings.
A niektorí ľudia dávajú desiatok, ale nedávajú žiadne dary.
You know my grandmother regularly gives what she calls thank offerings.
A viete, moja stará mama dáva pravidelne niečo, čo nazýva také tie dary za vďačnosť.
It's not tithe.
Nie je to desiatok.
And it's not a regular offering.
A nie je to nejaký pravidelný dar.
Like when my sister or I, if we did good in school or we got some position, she as a thanks to God will give some money to say God thank you for your love and your mercy to me.
Ale dávala to pri nejakých takých tých okolnostiach, ako napríklad keď som ja mal nejaký úspech v škole alebo sestra získala nejakú pozíciu, tak aby povedala Bohu, že ako znak toho, že by povedala Bohu, že ďakujem ti za to, tak dávala nejaký obnos peňazí.
But it's not just that.
Ale nie je to len toto.
You can use your car to help support God's work. Car.
A môžete použiť takisto svoje auto na to, aby ste pomohli v Božej práci nejako.
You can use your house to support God's work.
Takisto môžete použiť svoj dom.
You can use your talents to support God's work.
Takisto môžete podporiť Božiu prácu svojimi talentami.
All I'm saying is that the evidence of conversion is when we are willing to give whatever we have to help God.
A všetko, čo hovorím, je to, že dôkazom toho, že sme sa skutočne obrátili, je to, že sme ochotní dať všetko, čo máme Bohu.
But there's one more evidence that Jacob really had conversion.
Ale máme tu ešte jeden dôkaz, ktorý hovorí o tom, že Jakob bol naozaj obrátený.
It's found in Genesis chapter 29, verse 1.
A ten nájdeme v prvej knihe Mojžišovej, 29. kapitole, verš 1.
This is what it says. In verse 1 it says, then Jacob went on his journey.
A toto sa tam píše, potom sa zobral Jakob
and came into the land of the people of the east.
A išiel do zeme synov východu.
Now, I don't know how the Slovakian Bible translates this.
Tak nie som si istý, ako to prekladá slovenská Biblia.
But in the Hebrew Bible, in the original manuscript, the expression is that Jacob lifted up his feet and he went.
Ale v hebrejskom origináli sa píše, že Jakob zdvihol svoje nohy a išiel.
You see, when you're sad, we drag our feet.
A viete, keď sme smutní, tak väčšinou tak len ťaháme za sebou tie nohy.
But if you're excited to go see somebody,
ale keď sa tešíte na to, aby ste išli niekoho navštíviť,
your feet are light, like you can't wait to get there.
Tak máte také ako keby ľahké nohy, neviete sa dočkať toho, keď tam konečne dôjdete.
This is the language that the Bible employs after Jacob's experience with God at Bethel. This is the language that the Bible uses.
A toto je vlastne ten jazyk alebo to vyjadrenie, ktoré Biblia používa na to, aby opísala, ako sa Jakob cítil po tom stretnutí s Bohom.
He was filled with joy because he had met Jesus and he now knew that God was with him.
Bol naplnený radosťou, pretože sa stretol s Ježišom a vedel, že Boh ho miluje.
And even though he did not know what would be tomorrow or the next week or the next month.
A napriek tomu, že nevedel, čo bude zajtra, o týždeň, budúci mesiac.
He had no fear because he knew that God was with him.
Tak sa nebal, pretože vedel, že Boh bude s ním.
Friend, you can be happy, you can be hopeful if you meet God at Bethel, even if you lose your job.
Priateľu, môžeš byť vďačný a môžeš byť radosný, aj keď stratíš svoju prácu, pretože si mohol stretnúť Boha v Beteli.
You can be happy, you can be hopeful if you meet God at Bethel, even if you get sick.
Môžeš byť vďačný a šťastný, keď stretneš Boha v Beteli, aj keď si chorý.
You can still be happy and you can be hopeful even if you go through the pain of divorce, if you will meet with God at Bethel.
Môžeš mať nádej a môžeš byť šťastný, ak stretneš Boha v Beteli, aj keď prechádzaš rozvodom.
In other words, you don't have to be afraid of the future if you meet God at Bethel and you invite him into your life.
Inými slovami, nemusíš mať strach z budúcnosti, ak sa stretneš s Bohom v Beteli a pozveš ho do svojho života.
Now, Jacob did something that may seem strange, but we have to look at it.
Jakub urobil niečo, čo môže vyzerať zvláštne, ale musíme sa na to pozrieť.
In Genesis 29,
v Genesis 29. kapitole,
and verse 18,
verš 18.
The Bible says that Jacob did something very interesting.
A tam Biblia píše, že Jakub urobil niečo veľmi zaujímavé.
I want you to look at Genesis 29, verse 18. Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and he poured oil upon the top of it.
28?
Yes, 28, verse 18.
Pardon, takže kapitola 28, 18. verš, kde sa píše, a Jakob stal skoro ráno a vzal kameň, ktorý si bol položil pod hlavu a postavil ho za pamätný stĺp a na jeho vrch nalial oleja.
Now, this may seem strange because it was a stone that he had slept on.
Toto môže vyzerať tak čudne, pretože to bol kameň, na ktorom spal.
And after this vision that God showed him,
a po tom videní, ktoré mu Boh ukázal,
the Bible says that he set it up.
Tak Biblia hovorí, že ho postavil.
And then he poured oil on it.
A vylial na neho oleja.
Why would he do that?
Prečo by to robil?
There's another story in the Bible that has a similar experience.
A v Biblii je ďalší príbeh, ktorý má podobnú skúsenosť alebo vyzerá podobne.
It's in 1 Samuel chapter 7.
A to je v 1. Samuelovej 7. kapitole.
And I want to ask you to read 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 12.
A prečítame si 1. Samuelovú 7. kapitolu
verse 12.
12. verš.
And the Bible says,
kde Biblia píše,
then Samuel took a stone.
Vtedy vzal Samuel jeden kameň.
And set it between Mizpah and Shen.
A postavil ho medzi Mizpou a medzi Shenom.
And he called the name of it Ebenezer.
A nazval jeho meno Ebenezer.
Saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us.
Lebo riekol, až potiaľto nám pomáhal Hospodin.
Now, what are these people doing?
No, čo teraz robia títo ľudia?
Why do they keep putting these stones here?
Prečo tu stavajú tieto kamene.
What spiritual lesson is the Bible teaching us?
Akú lekciu sa nám takto snaží Biblia dať?
Jacob?
Jakob?
Samuel?
Samuel?
They did not want to forget the experience that they had with God.
Nechceli zabudnúť na tú skúsenosť, ktorú mali s Bohom.
In other words, when God does something for us amazing in our life,
inými slovami, ak Boh pre nás urobí niečo úžasné v živote,
we should do all that we can to remind ourselves of the amazing miracle that God has done on our behalf.
Mali by sme urobiť všetko, čo je v našich silách na to, aby sme nezabudli na ten úžasný zázrak, ktorý Boh v našich životoch urobil.
You see, each one of us has experienced God doing some miracle.
Viete, každý z nás zažil nejakú skúsenosť toho, že Boh urobil pre nás zázrak.
But sometimes our faith grows weak.
Ale niekedy naša viera ako keby sa oslabovala.
Sometimes we forget what God has done.
niekedy zabudneme, čo Boh pre nás urobil.
But if we like Jacob, like Samuel, if we could go back to that place where we first met God.
Ale keď môžeme my, ako, podobne ako Jakob alebo Samuel, vrátiť sa k miestu, kde sa to stalo.
Hope would come.
Teda, kde sme postavili ten kameň,
we
tak
would have
príde
courage
nádej.
Again.
A budeme mať hope.
We would have courage again.
A bude, získame znova odvahu.
And so that's why Ellen White says.
A preto Ellen White hovorí.
We have nothing to fear for the future.
A nemáme sa čoho bať v budúcnosti.
Except that we shall forget how the Lord has led us.
Okrem teda toho, že by sme zabudli, ako nás Boh viedol.
And his teaching in our past history.
A jeho učenie v našej minulosti.
Don't forget what God has done.
Nezabudnite na to, čo Boh
you know,
urobil.
If you come to my office in the US, in my church, in my office in my church.
Viete, ak by ste prišli do mojej kancelárie v mojom zbore.
I have a picture in a frame.
A mám tam jeden obraz
of me and two friends sitting on the Great Wall of China.
Kde sedím ja aj so svojimi dvoma priateľmi na veľkom čínskom múre.
Now I don't keep that picture because I like looking at myself. No.
A ten obrázok tam nemám kvôli tomu, že by som sa rád pozeral sám na seba.
But that picture reminds me of a very important experience in my life.
Ale ten obrázok mi pripomína jednu veľmi dôležitú skúsenosť v mojom živote.
You see, when I took that picture, that was my first year of college.
Viete, keď som bol na tom obrázku, tak to bol môj prvý rok na univerzite.
At the end of the year, I was invited on a mission trip to China.
Na konci roka som bol pozvaný na jednu misionársku cestu do Číny.
I was 17 years old.
Mal som 17 rokov.
And that is when I prayed to God.
A vtedy som sa modlil k Bohu.
I said, God, of all the things that I want for my birthday,
a kde som mu povedal, Bože, zo všetkých vecí, ktoré chcem na svoje narodeniny,
I want you to help me become a preacher.
Tak tá, ktorú chcem, je vlastne, aby si mi pomohol stať sa kazateľom.
If you were here, if you were at our meeting yesterday, I shared with you my journey of becoming an evangelist.
Ak ste boli so mnou včera na tom našom stretnutí, tak vtedy som s vami zdieľal vlastne ten svoj príbeh, ako som sa stal evangelistom.
And so every time I look at that picture,
takže teraz za každým, keď sa pozriem na ten obrázok,
it reminds me of the amazing miracle that God has done in my life.
Tak mi pripomína ten obraz ten úžasný zázrak, ktorý Boh urobil s mojim životom.
When I joined Amazing Facts,
keď som sa vlastne pridal k tej spoločnosti Amazing Facts,
I bought a special Bible, like a brand new Bible.
Tak som si kúpil úplne novú špeciálnu Bibliu.
And in the inside of that Bible, in the front of it,
a vnútri v tej Biblii vpredu,
there was a place where it says this Bible is for on the date, you know, this it says
a tam
like,
bolo nejaké také venovanie, že táto Biblia je pre a tam bolo miesto.
And
miesto na miesto a meno.
On that Bible I put the date that I was hired as an evangelist for Amazing Facts.
A do tej Biblie som tam vlastne na to miesto na dátum dal dátum, kedy som bol prijatý do tej spoločnosti Amazing Facts.
And every time I preached with that Bible,
a za každým, keď som kázal s touto Bibliou,
I was reminded of the miracle that it took for me to reach that point to do the work of an evangelist.
Tak vlastne tou Bibliou som si pripomínal ten zázrak, ktorý som potreboval na to, aby som sa dostal do tejto spoločnosti, aby som tu mohol pracovať.
You see, Jacob set up a stone.
Vidíte, Jakob si postavil ten kameň.
Samuel set up a stone.
Samuel postavil kameň.
And every one of us in our life we should have some reminder of the amazing providences that God has done in our past.
A takisto i každý z nás by mal mať v našom živote nejakú pripomienku toho, čo Boh pre nás urobil,
toho
úžasného zázraku.
If we don't forget what God has done,
pretože ak nezabudneme, čo Boh urobil v minulosti,
if we don't forget the miracles that he has done for us,
ak nezabudneme tie zázraky, ktoré pre nás urobil,
our faith will be strengthened to even ask for more from God.
Tak naša viera bude posilňovaná tým, aby sme od Boha žiadali ešte viac.
And so let's not forget.
Takže nezabudnime.
Come with me to Genesis 29.
Poďte so mnou do Genesis 29. kapitoly.
And now we come to verse 2.
Verš 2.
And in Genesis 29 verse 2 through 6.
A v Genesis 29. kapitoli od 2. po 6. verš.
We find the experience of Jacob meeting Rachel.
Tak tam nájdeme opísanú skúsenosť, ako sa Jakob stretol s Rachel.
Now, if you study the Bible, you will discover that it was an amazing experience when Eliezer met Rebecca.
Keď študujete Bibliu, môžete zistiť to, že to bola nejaká úžasná skúsenosť, ako sa Eliezer stretol s Rebekou.
But when you read about Jacob, it also seems like a miracle. He comes to this foreign country, he comes to the well, and there he meets his wife.
Ale podobne to vyzerá aj s Jakobom, keď stretáva Rachel, ako keby to bol nejaký zázrak. Príde do tej cudzej krajiny, k nejakej studni a tam stretne Rachel.
And sometimes people think, oh, it was just a chance.
A niekedy si ľudia myslia, oh, veď to bola len náhoda.
But when you study the Bible carefully,
ale keď študujete Bibliu pozorne,
we find that God's hand moves in such a way that what seems like chance is actually God's leading.
Tak môžeme vidieť to, že Boh riadi ten svet svojou rukou tak, že napriek tomu, že zvonku to vyzerá ako náhoda, tak v skutočnosti to riadi Boh.
For example,
napríklad,
was it a chance that when Jacob was put into the pit and then pulled out?
Jacob?
I'm sorry, Joseph. Joseph, thank you. Thank you.
Bola to náhoda, že keď bol Jozef hodený teda do tej studne, do tej nádrže, tak bol potom vyťahnutý hore?
Was it a chance that right at that moment the Ishmaelites were passing by?
Bola to náhoda, že práve v tom momente, keď ho hodili do tej nádrže, aby tam zomrel, tak okolo išli Izmaeliti?
Was that a chance?
Bola to náhoda?
What about when Pharaoh's daughter went down to the river to bathe?
A čo v prípade, keď sa faraónova dcera išla umývať, kúpať do rieky Nilo?
Was that a chance that just at that moment it happened that the parents of Moses had hid him there?
Bola to naozaj náhoda, že práve v tom momente rodičia Mojžiša ho tam schovali?
Was it a chance that one night King Ahasuerus cannot sleep and so he asks for the record books to be brought and asks them to read it to him?
King
Ahasuerus, Esther's husband.
Bola to náhoda, že kráľ Ahasver si jednu noc nemohol spať a zobral si tie knihy historické a začal ich študovať?
And it was at that night that he realizes I have to take care of Mordecai, which was in turn the key element in saving Mordecai's life.
A bolo to práve v tú noc, keď si on uvedomil, že musí nejako odplatiť Mardochajovi tú jeho udalosť, teda tú jeho službu, ktorú mu urobil, a práve touto udalosťou zachránil jeho život.
From these examples,
a z týchto príkladov
we can make this conclusion.
Môžeme prísť k tomuto záveru.
There are no chances in life.
A v živote nie sú žiadne náhody.
Everything is under divine providential organization.
A všetko je pod takouto božskou organizáciou, božom riadením.
And God has his hand moving in mysterious and strange ways that we don't even understand.
A Boh svojimi rukami hýbe v takými cestami, takými spôsobmi, ktoré my nedokážeme ani pochopiť, takými záhadnými.
But now the Bible says that Jacob met Rachel.
Ale teraz Biblia hovorí o Jakobovi a Rachel.
And in verse 15 now, Jacob meets Rachel's father Laban.
A v 15. verši Jakob sa stretne s Racheliným otcom Lábanom.
And please look with me at verse 15 and verse 16 and 17.
A budeme čítať v tej 29. kapitole verše 15, 16, 17.
And here's what the Bible says.
A tu sa píše.
Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?
Potom povedal Lában Jakobovi, či pretože si môj brat, budeš mi darmo slúžiť? Povedz mi, čo bude tvoja mzda?
And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah and the name of the younger one was Rachel.
A Lában mal dve dcery. Meno staršej bolo Leah a meno mladšej bolo Rachel.
And verse 17 says, Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored.
A 17. verš hovorí, ale Leah mala chúlostivé oči a Rachel bola peknej postavy a krásnej tvári.
Now I want to tell you a little bit about what the Hebrew language says about verse 17.
A chcem vám trošku povedať niečo o tom, čo hebrejský jazyk hovorí o tom verši 17.
In verse 17, the Bible describing Rachel, it says that she was beautiful and well favored.
A v tom 17. verši vlastne ten hebrejský jazyk, keď opisuje Rachel, hovorí o tom, že bola peknej postavy a krásnej tvári.
Now, the expression beautiful in English is translated from the Hebrew yefath toar.
Tak ten pojem tej peknej postavy bol je v hebrejčine to slovo, ktoré povedal.
Now, I know that this may seem technical, but that first word that's used there to describe Rachel's beauty, in Hebrew, it actually means that she had a very shapely figure. Like she had a good body.
It's in our translation.
Oh, it does? Oh, yeah. Great.
A vysvetuje to, že to slovo, ten úvod toho slova znamená to, že bola také pekné postavy.
But the second description of Rachel's beauty, it says in English, well-favored. In Hebrew, it's yefeth mare. A the second phrase there.
A druhá časť hovorí o tom, to je to slovo yefeth mare, or niečo ako
yes,
také.
And it means that her face was beautiful.
No a to druhé hovorí to, že bola krásnej tvári.
So Rachel was the complete package, if you know what I'm saying.
Takže Rachel bola taký ten úplný balík.
She had a beautiful face.
Bola pekná v tvári.
She had a great figure.
Mala peknú postavu.
And so here was this beautiful woman that Jacob meets at the well that day.
Takže to bola tá to krásne dievča, ktoré stretol pri tej studni.
Now I have to tell you that in verse 17 it says Leah was tender-eyed.
A ďalej vám chcem povedať to, že v tom 17. verši hovorí, že Lea mala chúlostivé oči.
And the Bible and scholars do not agree as to what this expression actually means.
The Bible and the scholars?
Yeah, well, the Bible commentaries, I should say. The Bible commentaries and scholars don't agree on what this expression means.
Takže tí biblickí komentátori a učenci sa nezhodujú na tom, čo tento výraz znamená.
As I have studied a little bit about this expression,
keď som študoval tento výraz trošku viac,
I believe that the intention of this phrase, tender-eyed, it means that she was very kind and compassionate.
You think so.
That's what my study has shown me, yeah.
Tak mne to štúdium ukázalo, presvedčilo ma o tom, že ten výraz znamená to, že bola taká tichá alebo hamblivá a veľmi milá.
Now, as strange as this seems,
a akokoľvek zvláštne to vyzerá,
Jacob has these two women that are, at this point, he's not married, these are two options.
Jakob má teraz pred sebou tieto dve ženy, ktoré sú pre ňo, on nie je zatiaľ teda ženatý a má tieto dve možnosti.
There is a beautiful girl.
Je tu jedno krásne dievča.
And then there's a nice girl.
A potom je tu jedno milé dievča.
Now, as you know, he ends up marrying both of them.
Ako vy viete, tak skončí to tak, že si vezme oboje.
And I want to ask you a question.
A chcem sa vás opýtať otázku.
Out of the two wives,
z týchto dvoch žien,
which one was better?
Ktorá bola lepšia?
Which one was the better wife?
Ktorá bola lepšia manželka?
If you really look at it, Leah was a better wife.
Keď sa na to naozaj pozriete, tak Leah bola lepšia manželka.
You know, Rachel almost got him killed.
Viete, kvôli Rachel, teda Rachel ho skoro dala nie že dala, ale skoro ho kvôli nej skoro bol zabitý.
Do you remember they were running away from Laban?
Pamätáte si, ako utekal od Labana?
What did Rachel steal from her father?
Čo Rachel ukradla od svojho otca?
All his idols.
And so všetkých jeho božikov.
So Laban almost killed everybody because that someone had stolen. That was his wife Rachel.
A Laban tak skoro všetkých zabil kvôli tomu, že bol okradnutý a to spôsobila jeho žena Rachel.
And do you remember when Rachel couldn't have children?
A pamätáte si, ako Rachel nemohla mať deti?
She said to Jacob, she said, "Give me children or I will die."
A prišla za Jakobom a povedal mu, daj mi deti, inak zomriem.
Now the point is not that beautiful women are a headache. That is not the point.
Nechcem tým povedať, že tie krásne ženy sú zlé, alebo
but the point that we can learn from this,
ale čo sa chceme naučiť z tohto
is
bodu,
that physical beauty is not necessarily as important as inner character beauty.
Je to, že tá fyzická krása nemusí byť až tak dôležitá, alebo nie je tak dôležitá ako tá vnútorná krása.
And when we study the life of Leah and Rachel,
keď študujeme život Leah a Rachel, Rachel,
there is perhaps no sadder story in the Bible of a woman who wanted to be loved but was not loved.
Tak v Biblii asi nenájdeme smutnejší príbeh ženy, ktorá chcela byť milovaná, ale nebola milovaná.
Now, today I want to talk to you about four conditions to having a true home.
Dneska chcem vám povedať o štyroch podmienkach, aby ste mohli mať skutočný domov.
Please look with me at Genesis 29.
Pozrite sa prosím so mnou do knihy Genesis 29. kapitoly.
Verse 18.
A 18. verša.
The Bible says, and Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter.
A Jakob si zamiloval Rachel a povedal, budem ti slúžiť 7 rokov za Rachel, tvoju mladšiu dceru.
And the Bible says, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her.
A potom v 20. verši sa ďalej píše, a tak slúžil Jakob za Rachel 7 rokov a bolo to v jeho očiach ako niekoľko dní, keďže ju mal rád.
And what does that mean?
Čo to znamená?
Jacob genuinely loved her.
A Jakob ju skutočne miloval.
Do you know that people marry today for very strange reasons?
Viete, že dneska sa ľudia vydávajú z veľmi zvláštnych dôvodov?
Some people get married because they want to have a family.
Niektorí ľudia sa vezmú, pretože chcú mať rodinu.
As good as that sounds,
ako dobre toto znie,
that is not the reason why you should marry someone.
Aj tak to nie je dôvod, prečo by ste si mali niekoho zobrať.
Some people marry because they want to get out of their house.
Niektorí ľudia sa vezmú, aby sa dostali preč zo svojho domova.
I have talked with more than one young woman that said, I got married because I hated living at home.
Rozprával som sa viac než s jednou mladou dievčinou, teda minimálne s jednou mladou dievčinou, ktorá povedala, že som sa vydala, aby som sa dostala preč z domu.
That is not a good reason to get married.
To tiež nie je dobrý dôvod, aby
some
sa človek vydal.
Some people marry because they want a certain position.
A niektorí ľudia sa vydávajú, pretože chcú istú pozíciu.
Politician's wife, doctor's wife, lawyer's wife, judge's wife.
Manželka politika, manželka doktora, lekára, právnika a tak ďalej.
Some people marry for money.
Niektorí ľudia sa vydávajú za peniaze.
You know, in the Korean American culture, this is not uncommon.
A viete, v takej tej korejsko-americkej kultúre toto nie je vôbec zriedkavé.
Parents will say, look, he's a doctor, he would make a good husband.
A rodičia zvyknú povedať, že pozri sa, toto je, on bude právnik, z neho bude dobrý manžel.
Why does being a doctor make you a good husband?
Teda lekár. Prečo by mal byť lekár dobrým manželom?
In their mind, it's because he makes a lot of money, okay?
Ich myslí je to preto, že zarobí dobré peniaze.
But that is not a reason why you should get married.
Ale to nie je dôvod, prečo by ste sa mali brať.
The first lesson of marriage or a home that we can learn from Jacob is that he genuinely loved his wife.
Tá prvá lekcia, alebo to prvé poučenie, ktoré by sme si mali zobrať z Jakoba pre náš domov, je to, že Jakob ju naozaj miloval.
Two people should not get married unless they both genuinely love each other.
Dva ľudia by sa nemali zobrať, pokiaľ sa skutočne úprimne nemilujú.
And may I say, it is not enough for one to love the other. They both have to love each other.
A chcel by som povedať, že nestačí, ak jeden miluje toho druhého, ale musia sa obaja milovať navzájom.
Principle number two.
Princíp číslo 2.
2 Corinthians chapter 6.
A 2. Korintianom 6. kapitola.
Verse 14 and 15.
Verše 14 a 15.
The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
Čiže 2. Korintianom 6. 14-15, neťahajte cudzieho jarma s neveriacimi.
For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?
Lebo čo má spoločného spravedlivosť s neprávosťou?
And what communion hath light with darkness?
Alebo jaké obecenstvo svetla s temnosťou?
Was Rachel the same faith, yes or no?
Bola Rachel rovnaké viery, áno alebo nie?
Was she? Yes.
Áno.
That was the whole reason of sending Jacob all the way over to Haran.
A to bol vlastne celý ten dôvod, prečo bol ako poslaný k Labanovi.
That was the same reason that years before Eliezer had made the trip to also find a wife for Isaac.
A to bol rovnaký dôvod, prečo tiež tam cestoval Eliezer roky predtým, aby našiel Izákovi manželku.
The third condition about a true home.
A tretia podmienka skutočného domova.
Look at Genesis 28.
Genesis 28. kapitola.
Look at verse 1.
Verš 1.
And please notice, the Bible says, Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take to thee a wife of the daughters of Canaan.
Just a moment.
Oh, sorry, 28.1.
Čiže 28.1. A Izak povolal Jakoba a požehnal ho, potom mu prikázal a riekol mu, nevezmeš si ženy z dcer Kanánových?
Verse 2, go to Padan Aram to the house of Bethuel thy mother's father and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban thy mother's brother.
A v druhom verši, zober sa, ide do Padan Arama, do domu Betuela, otca svojej matky, a odtiaľ si vezmi ženu, ser Labana, brata svojej matky.
Now go to Genesis 29, look at verse 19.
A teraz prejdeme do 29. kapitoly knihy Genesis.
And Laban said, it is better that I should give her to thee than I should give her to another man.
verš 19, a Lában odpovedal, lepšie ja by som ju dal tebe, než ako by som ju mal dať inému mužovi.
Both the husband's parents and the wife's parents agreed that this would be a good marriage.
A obaja, aj rodičia manžela, aj rodičia manželky súhlasili s tým a dohodli sa na tom, že toto bude najlepšie riešenie manželstva.
Now let me explain why that's important.
A dovolte mi vysvetliť, prečo je toto veľmi dôležité.
You see, marriage involves or it needs the support of families.
A viete, manželstvo totiž vyžaduje podporu rodiny alebo rodiny.
I would even include it needs the support of friends.
Dokonca by som dodal, že vyžaduje si podporu priateľov.
I have a friend in the United States.
V Spojených štátoch mám jedného priateľa.
She married someone that all of her friends said, don't marry him, don't marry him, don't marry him.
A teda priateľku, a ona si zobrala jedného chlapca, o ktorom jej priateľia hovorili, že nevydávaj sa na ňu, nevydávaj sa na ňu.
But she married him anyway.
Ona sa na ňu vydala aj tak.
And it's sad because he ended up being very abusive to her and they had to split for a while.
A je to smutný príbeh, pretože on začal byť veľmi násilný a museli sa oddeliť.
And years later,
a po rokoch neskôr,
she admitted,
priznala,
I should have listened.
Mala som počúvnuť.
Now, I'm not saying that your friends should tell you what to do.
A teraz týmto vám nechcem povedať, že vaši priatelia by vám mali hovoriť, čo máte robiť.
But if marriage is being led by God,
ale ak manželstvo je vedené Bohom,
definitely both parents should agree,
tak jednoznačne by obe strany, oboji rodičia mali na tom, sa na tom zhodnúť.
And the friends who know you well should also agree.
A takisto aj priatelia, ktorí vás dobre poznajú, by s tým mali súhlasiť.
Now, the fourth condition for a marriage, for a home,
a štvrtá podmienka toho správneho domova
is that the man must have some means of supporting his family.
Je to, že muž má mať nejaké prostriedky, aby mohol podporiť svoju rodinu.
Genesis 29:27.
Genesis 29:27.
The Bible says, fulfill her week and we will give thee to this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years.
Biblia hovorí, vyplň týždeň tejto a potom ti dáme i túto za službu, ktorú budeš slúžiť u mňa ešte druhých 7 rokov.
You see, in those days a person had to prove that they could support a family.
Viete, v tých dňoch osoba musela dokázať, že dokáže podporiť alebo uživiť svoju rodinu.
Either they had to have money,
buď museli mať peniaze,
or they had to prove by working that they were hardworking and diligent.
Alebo museli svojou prácou dokázať, že sú usilovní a poctiví.
Today in the United States,
dnes v Spojených štátoch,
I have met many couples, not just one. I have met, I can say many couples.
Stretol som sa s mnohými, a naozaj mnohými, nielen zo pár pármi.
The girlfriend or the wife is working,
kde dievča alebo manželka pracuje.
The husband stays at home and watches TV.
A manžel ostáva doma a pozerá televíziu.
I once did some evangelistic meetings. I once did some evangelistic
raz som robil jedné evangelizačné prednášky.
And we had this young lady come into the seminar late.
Prišla teda na jeden taký seminár, prišla neskoro jedna mladá pani.
She was dressed very worldly.
A bola oblečená veľmi svetsky.
She had a giant yellow handbag.
Mala obrovskú žltú kabelku.
And when she came in, everybody looked because she was so loud with her high heels and everybody looked right at her.
A keď vošla, tak všetci sa na ňu obzerali, pretože bola veľmi hlasná, ako tam vošla na svojich vysokých opätkoch.
But she sat down.
Ale sadla si.
And she came back the next night and the next night.
A prišla naspäť potom ďalší večer a potom ďalší večer.
And so one day the pastor and I, we went to visit her.
A tak jeden večer, jeden deň sme teda prišli aj s kazateľom navštíviť ju.
When we went to her house,
a keď sme prišli k nej domov,
we found her boyfriend.
Našli sme jej priateľa.
He had a tattoo on his forehead.
Mal tetovanie na čele.
Of a star that was upside down with a circle around it.
A s hviezdou, ktorá bola hore nohami a s kruhom okolo.
This is like a symbol of Satanism.
Pentagram, symbol.
Yeah, it's a pentagram. That's right. He had a pentagram tattooed on his forehead.
Pentagram, symbol Satana.
And he had tattoos all over his arm.
Všade mal tetovanie po rukách.
So we tried to get to know them.
Takže snažili sme sa ich spoznať.
But boyfriend would not talk to pastor or me.
Ale ten jej priateľ nechcel rozprávať ani s kazateľom, ani so mnou.
He was busy watching TV.
proste bol zaneprázdnený tým, že sledoval televíziu.
Girlfriend, we found out.
Čo sme zistili o tej priateľke, o dievčati?
She had grandparents that were Seventh-day Adventist.
A mala starých rodičov, ktorí boli adventisti 7. dňa.
And it turns out she worked and supported him while he stayed at home and watched TV.
A ukázalo sa, že ona pracovala a vlastne podporovala jeho, kým on sedel doma a pozeral telku.
And I couldn't believe it. She was this beautiful girl.
A nemohol som tomu uveriť, ona bola krásna dievča.
And this guy looked like a Satan worshipper.
A ten chlapec vyzeral ako nejaký uctievač satana.
But you know, you can't tell people you should split up. You can't say that, you know.
Ale viete, nemôžete takto ľuďom povedať, že mali by ste sa rozísť.
The girl went through the entire series.
A tak dievča prešlo celou tú sériu prednášok.
At the end of the series, she said I want to get baptized.
A na konci prednášok povedala, chcem sa pokrstiť.
A few months later she got baptized.
Niekoľko mesiacov neskôr sa dala pokrstiť.
She left boyfriend.
Opustila toho chlapca.
She went to our Adventist college and she became a nurse.
A išla na adventistickú univerzitu alebo vysokú školu a stala sa z nej sestrička.
The moral of the story.
A teraz tá, to poučenie z príbehu.
Ladies, don't marry a guy if he doesn't have a job.
A dievčata, neberte si chalana, ak nemá prácu.
Now, I want to close with just a few thoughts here.
A chcem to uvažovanie uzavrieť niekoľkými myšlienkami.
Maybe there are some of you here today that are not married or watching that are not married.
Možno sú tu niektorí z vás alebo pozerajú to niektorí z vás, ktorí nie sú v manželstve.
Don't feel unsatisfied.
Necíťte sa nejak neuspokojený.
Paul says,
Pavol hovorí.
He that is married careth for the things of this life.
Ten, kto je v manželstve, myslí, kto je ženatý, myslí na veci, ktoré sú z tohto sveta.
How he may please his wife.
Ako by potešil svoju manželku.
But the unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord.
Unmarried man?
No. An unmarried woman. The unmarried woman.
Look, ale nevydá tam...
1 Corinthians 7:33. We'll just read it.
Ok, tak to budeme čítať. 1 Korintianom... 1 Corinthians?
7.
7. kapitola.
33 and 34.
33 a 34. 1. Korintianom 7, 33, 34.
You can just read it.
Ale ten, kto sa oženil, stará sa o veci sveta, ako by sa ľúbil žene. A je rozdiel aj medzi ženou a pannou. Nevydatá sa stará o to, čo je pánovo, aby bola sveta i telom, i duchom, ale tá, ktorá sa vydala, stará sa o veci sveta, ako by sa ľúbila mužovi.
I have some friends who are not married.
Mám priateľov, ktorí nie sú v manželstve.
And what I've discovered is that these people, they have a special opportunity to love the unloved.
A všimol som si, že títo ľudia majú ako keby také zvláštne príležitosti, aby mohli milovať tých, ktorí sú nemilovaní.
I know someone who's not married and she loves her joy in life is to minister to people that are in wheelchairs and that are handicapped.
A mám jednu priateľku, ktorá nie je vydatá a vlastne jej radosťou v živote je pomáhať ľuďom, ktorí sú handicapovaní, ktorí sú na vozíčkoch.
By not being married, she can focus her love and attention on these people that are unloved.
A tým, že je nevydatá, môže svoju lásku sústrediť na týchto ľuďoch, ktorí sú na vozíčkoch.
At my church, I have a young nurse who's not married.
A vo svojom zbore mám jednu mladú sestričku, ktorá nie je vydatá.
And her goal is to start an orphanage. She wants to love these children of Africa that have no parents.
A jej cieľom v živote je založiť sirotinec. Chce sa starať o deti z Afriky, ktoré nemajú rodičov.
And so people that are unmarried, they can focus their energies and their time for God in a way that people that are married cannot.
A tak tí ľudia, ktorí nie sú v manželstve, môžu sústrediť svoj čas a svoju energiu na veci, na Božie veci, úplne viac než tí, ktorí sa musia sústrediť na svoje manželstvo.
Maybe there's a second group of people here.
Možno je tu ešte druhá skupina ľudí.
Maybe you're married.
Možno ste vydatí, alebo
but you're not happy.
Ženatí, ale nie ste šťastní.
Look at Genesis 29.
A pozrime sa do Genesis 29. kapitoly.
Look at verse 31.
31. verš.
Now the Bible has a very interesting verse here.
A tu je veľmi zaujímavý verš.
The Bible says when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren.
A keď videl Hospodin, že je Lea nenávidená, otvoril jej život a Rachel zostala nepodnou.
Now, this may seem strange.
Už teraz toto môže vyzerať zvláštne.
But in every life,
ale v každom živote,
God provides something for which we can be thankful for.
A teda každému do života Boh poskytne niečo, za čo môžeme byť vďační.
When you look at the names of Leah's children,
keď sa pozriete na mená Lejných detí,
it is a very sad thing.
Je to veľmi smutný príbeh.
She so wanted her husband to love her.
A tak veľmi chcela, aby ju manžel miloval.
And yet he loved Rachel.
A napriek tomu on miloval Rachel.
And so God did something to compensate Leah for her unrequited love.
A tak Boh dal Lei niečo, aby jej vykompenzoval tú neopetovanú lásku.
So even though her husband did not really love her.
Takže aj napriek tomu, že jej manžel naozaj nemiloval.
God gave her many children.
Boh jej dal množstvo detí.
Maybe you're sitting here today, maybe you're watching and you are married but you're not happy.
Možno tu sedíte dneska alebo pozeráte, ste vydatí alebo ženatí a nie ste šťastní.
I can guarantee you that God has put something in your life to bring you joy despite the unhappiness that you may have in your married life.
Viem vám garantovať, že Boh vám dal do života niečo, čím vás chce urobiť šťastným vo vašom živote napriek tomu, že nie ste milovaní v manželstve.
There are some of you that are happy and married.
Sú tu z nás takí, ktorí sú v manželstve a sú šťastní.
But don't be proud and don't lose watch. Like, don't get complacent.
Ale
don't get too relaxed.
Ale neuvoľnite sa príliš, nestráťte pozor. Neprestaňte byť opatrní. Pozorní.
Because later on, it was Rachel that created the most headache for Jacob.
Pretože neskôr sa Rachel stala tou, ktorá spôsobila Jakobovi najviac problémov, najviac migrén.
And there's a fourth group. Maybe there are some of you that have been married and since you've been married, you became a believer, but your spouse is not a believer.
Možno je to štvrtá skupina, že oženili ste sa, vydali ste sa a neskôr vo svojom živote ste sa obrátili, stali ste sa veriacim, ale váš manžel nie.
1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 13 says.
1. Korintianom 7. kapitola.
1 Corinthians 7. Uh-huh. Verse 13.
Verse 13.
And the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him.
1 Corinthians 7, 13. A zase žena, ktorá má neveriaceho muža a on volí bývať s ňou, nech neopúšťa muža.
For verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife.
Verš 14, lebo neveriaci muž je posvetený ženou.
And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband.
A neveriaca žena je posvetená mužom bratom.
In other words, if you find yourself married to an unbeliever.
Inými slovami, ak proste ste v manželstve s neveriacim.
Let your life be the means by which that person can experience eternal life.
Konajte tak, aby prostredníctvom vášho života mohol ten váš manžel alebo manželka prežívať to posvetenie večného života.
Close with a word of prayer.
Uzavrieme to modlitbou.
Our Father in heaven.
Náš nebeský Otče.
We are thankful that indeed God has reached down to us through the ladder of Jesus.
Sme ti vďační, že v skutku Ježiš sa k nám sklonil cez ten rebrík, ktorý predstavuje Ježiš.
And we don't want to forget all of the amazing providences that he has given to us in our life.
Nechceme zabudnúť na tie všetky zázraky, ktoré Boh v našom dal do nášho života.
Help us to keep them fresh in our minds.
Daj, aby sme si ich pamätali čerstve v našich pamätiach.
That our faith may continue to reach out for more blessings.
Nech naša viera v nás rastie po ďalších skúsenostiach, ďalších požehnaniach.
We thank you in Jesus' name we pray.
Ďakujeme ti a modlíme sa v mene Ježiša.
Amen.
Amen.